If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Wow, a lot to talk about with our baseball team. Once again, the best record in the game. We could talk about maybe the best team in the game. It's getting some discussion around Major League Baseball, including Gator. I found another one of those MLB executives speak when granted anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the Tigers. It's interesting to hear what they had to say.
Saw some power rankings, and I saw an article about how each team can upgrade the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of discussion. I will say this, though. Just a reminder, and I'm going to remind myself of this. Seasons are so long.
What?
And this team has done an unbelievable job of avoiding long losing streaks. They had that weird three-game losing streak a couple weeks back where they played the doubleheader, rain delay, Pittsburgh thing, fly to Tampa. They played like four games in a 48-hour span, and they lost the last three. That long day at Comerica with the rain delay where they were at the park for like 12 hours.
Both games were delayed, right?
Yeah, both games got delayed. They were there for like 12 hours, and they had to get on a plane, fly to Tampa, played that night, looked lethargic, had a noon game on Saturday, and that was a three-game losing streak. They lost game two of the doubleheader. They lost on Friday night. They lost on Saturday. And I mentioned, going into Friday, I said on the air, I'm scared that fatigue is going to catch up to him here a little bit. And I know that people look at those things and say they're excuses. And I say, I don't think that is an excuse. I think an excuse, and I've cited this all the time, a player postgame once claimed that they didn't play well because the pregame buffet, the tray of eggs was one half of the tray had eggs. The other half of the tray had eggs with bacon, and he didn't eat bacon. And so he couldn't eat any of the eggs, even though one side of the tray had no egg and had no bacon. So that messed up his whole day. That to me is an excuse. It has nothing to do with the game. And you made an excuse because you could have ate the eggs. But when you play essentially four games in 48 hours and you include a flight in between, I could see how that could have a team lose a step and look a little lethargic. And they did lose three in a row there. And they lost three in a row in the opening open of the season with the Dodgers. And they lost three in a row to Cleveland, but it looked like Cleveland still had their number. And that's it. Those are their losing streaks. They're going to hit a patch this year where they're not playing well. And we're going to hearken back to how they're playing right now and say, remember before the All-Star break how good they looked? Because they came out of that three-game losing streak, this most recent one, that long three-gamer. And they've won 10 of 14.
Well, I mean, even over the weekend, look what happened against Cleveland. The bats weren't there. They scored, what, three runs to the first 26 innings of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it was, the 26 innings of the series. And then they got a run late, and then they were able to push forth, you know, six more in the top of the 10th inning. But prior to that, they just weren't scoring. Was that a rough stretch? Pitching was great.
Yeah. I mean, if you're winning, if you're finding a way to win at the end of the, again, baseball and all the numbers and the minutia, the score had Detroit with more runs than Cleveland all three games.
The Tigers, this team just seems like if you just wait long enough, something can happen. Like, and they believe in each other, and the pitching has been spot on when it's needed to be. It's everything's coincided.
Yep.
Normally you go through seasons, you're like, oh, when the hitting's good, the pitching sucks and they lose the games. When the pitching's good, the hitting sucks. And when those things are going well, then they can't field, they can't run the bases and all that. Well, they've been able to run the bases going first to third better than anybody in baseball throughout the season. That never changes. Their fielding has been, I would say, save for a very short stretch of games, their fielding has been above average. The pitching, for the most part, has been spot on. The bullpen, a little shaky. Certainly shakier this year than what was last year, but it's asked to do different things this year. But that could sound like an excuse, and I don't want to do that. And the hitting's been the most consistent thing in this team. The hitting has been, to me, the most surprising thing about the Tigers. Last year, they get on that crazy stretch at the end of the season, ride it into the postseason, whatever, and you know, when all is said and done, their season totals offensively were still nothing special. This team was a well below average OPS team. And now things have changed. Three more home runs at Comerica Park. The canyon is Comerica Park, where you can't hit home runs. They've hit 55 home runs out of their 119. 55 have come at Comerica Park. The 119 home runs they've hit ranks sixth. It's tied for sixth in all of Major League Baseball. They are getting it done. Their overall team OPS is like 755 or 757, whatever it is, which is well above average. Colt Keith, after two doubles and a home run last night, don't look now, but Colt Keith has an OPS of 779 right now. He is killing it since May. Absolutely killing it. He's got a well above 800 OPS in his last 48 games. 48 games is not a small sample size. It's not. That's a pretty good sample size. He could be that solution for the Tigers at third base, along with a combination of others that they could put there, whether it's Matt Vierling or whomever. You know, so everybody clamoring, got to get this third baseman. Do they? Because everybody on this team right now is hitting to some degree. You see very little holes in this lineup. And to me, that is unbelievable. A difference. What a difference a year can make. This team is now a fearsome lineup with multiple players that you have to watch very carefully at the plate, whether or not because they can hit the ball over the fence or just because they put the ball in play. And if you got guys on base, those guys are moving from first to third.
248-539-9797. Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Dave in Livonia. You're on 97.1. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
So I know the Tigers have been doing red hot lately, but I think there's like one piece we could add, like a bullpen arm, you know?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think I agree. One guy from the Yankees would be Aaron Judge.
That's a bullpen arm.
Yeah.
Woo! Aaron Judge out of the pen!
Let's make it happen.
Out of the pen! Sure.
There's no question they need a bullpen.
You know what? You know why they could do that? Chris Fetter.
There you go. Fetter him up.
Yep.
I mean, that's a big fella up on the hill there.
Do they need a bullpen arm? Yes. Of course they need a bullpen arm.
I think they're going to get one real soon.
Yeah, I would suspect. Because you know what? I was watching all that minor league maneuvering of them moving guys up and down, and it made me think they're preparing to trade somebody.
I think so.
They're preparing to trade somebody. And it might be something as simple as Trey Cruz is never going to get here. They bring him up to AAA. They give him a couple weeks to showcase himself because there's teams that are going to say, you know what, that guy's gotten better and better. Same thing with Max Anderson. And same thing with other guys that they're bumping up. But they're positioning the minor leagues to make a trade. And the thing about bullpen arms is that they don't cost much.
No, they don't. And here's what costs nothing. Alex Lang.
No, and
he
that
costs
he could
you
be.
Nothing, and he's. I'm telling you, he's going to be brought up within a week.
We've been talking about two possibilities within the organization that could help this team quite a bit inside the organization that were possible solutions. One was Matt Manning, and the other was Alex Lang. And in Matt Manning's case,
nope,
it's not. It's just he's not throwing enough strikes. And in fact, I've been paying attention to it, and then.
Lynn Henning had it.
Lynn Henning, thank you. I couldn't think of his name. Lynn Henning did a story this week about how he was missing out on, you know, he's just missing the strike zone way too much. He's lost his command, which is sad. It's tough. But the Lang thing might be a solution.
Yeah, Lynn writes with the Detroit News, and it feels like every few weeks he'll write something about the minor league system, and it was a big paragraph in there about Matt Manning. It is kind of sad to see that this guy who was once thought as being a cornerstone of the rotation.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Who had an ERA well below four and was pitching in their rotation, just can't seem to find the strike zone right now.
Paul's in Shelby and next on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Paul?
Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, this team is so versatile. It reminds me of the 68 team when Mickey Stanley went and played shortstop. I wouldn't mess with this team at all. They got enough hitters. They got 10 guys that could possibly hit 20 or more home runs. All they need is a bullpen help and maybe a left-handed starting pitcher. That's all I think they need.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too intoxicated with what some of the guys are doing. Like, One of the most amazing stories right now is Zach McKinstry. I mean, he is a cult hero in Detroit. He is turning, he's going from cult hero to hero. And yet, what if you can get somebody that might take some ABs away from McKinstry, like a Eugenio Suarez? You don't say no to that. And you've made this point all along. When you add somebody, somebody else is losing at bats. I mean, every time you think Torque is going to sink, he bounces back.
Yeah.
Colt Keith has bounced back. Riley Green has bounced back.
Gleyber Torres is going to be here for the rest
waiting.
Of the season.
The one guy that might be kind of shaky, it's getting a lot of opportunity, but I think is going to continue to get opportunities because he helps the teams in other ways, is Parker Meadows.
Wenzel Perez is another. But
I don't want to take away ABs and opportunities from Wenzel Perez.
And, oh, by the way, Kerry Carpenter will be back after the All-Star break.
Right.
You know, and that's another big bat to put in the lineup. Can they add to it? Sure, you can always find an upgrade. And if the upgrade doesn't cost you, and you think it's, and this is the big part of it, if you think he's a fit for the team, and that's a huge part of it. That's what the Lions worry about. Can that player they bring in, is that player going to fit in the locker room? I think it's in large part why they trust so many of the draft picks that they have, because they were able to mold those draft picks from day one.
Are we talking about the Lions or the Tigers?
I'm talking both here. I'm just saying this is an example that I think the Tigers are following from what the Lions have done, or maybe that example.
Maybe it's just what good teams do.
Yeah, this is just the same philosophy. But that's what the Lions have done to great success. They trust the guys they've drafted because they've been through the system and they know exactly what it is that they're trying to do, rather than having to go out all the time and bring in big-time free agents. The Tigers, these guys are together. And if you're going to introduce somebody into this clubhouse, they have to be the right fit. And who knows what that fit is, that dynamic is, that Scott Harris is looking for, or that A.J. Hinch wants, or what works in that clubhouse. But there's a part that says, yeah, you don't want to rock the boat too much because it has worked out to such a tremendous degree of success this year.
Oh, man. Tigers, 24 games over 500, 14 games up in the division. Another win last night. 248-539-9797. Let's get into the Chippewa, Mr. ZMU himself, and talk about Zach McKinstry, because he just continues to amaze. That at 10:32 on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.